Hallelujah. Yeah. Do you ever find yourself talking yourself through what you're supposed to be doing? Every step. And I'm thankful that today I just had great success. I think I have everything set right. So I want to tell you what just happened, too. I mean, what I believe just happened was God wanted us to hear, to be reminded of the power that he gives us. The reason that I say that is because we were sort of at a place of decision there in worship. Worship had just sort of calmed and waiting. It was waiting for a word, waiting for something. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord says, "Let's go." And I didn't think that was "let's go" with a message, but I didn't know for sure. He said, "Let's go." And so we just went a little bit. Well, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord of my life. You know, that'll pep you up. That will wake you up, you know. But it was, I think, that the reminder of what we have in Christ, the power. That's not the first time you've had a word like that, Tara. You know, where you've been the messenger of power. Where you have declared the power. And I don't think that that's the Lord telling you, you need to start doing that, okay? But, you know, it was that we need to be reminded that this isn't, we aren't just church sitters, okay? We need to be even more active out there, okay? I mean, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for the role that I get to play here. I love this. I love worshiping the Lord. I love being reminded when I worship that I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. He hears and he answers. Maybe we don't even know. I don't think I was. I think Vicky was. I think she was praying, "God, there's a devil in our house." And I think that the Lord heard her and hooked me. But there's nothing better than Jesus. There's nothing better. And we are so fortunate. It wasn't just a small statement when Jesus says, "Blessed are you because it's been given you to understand." So you understand, every one of you should understand a lot of things that other people don't understand. It wouldn't take you long talking to someone before they would either walk away or they would say, "I don't understand. I don't understand. Where's your joy? How come you're so happy? I don't understand." People say that God said things. "I don't understand God talking to people." Well, the truth is that he's been talking to everybody for a long, long time. It's just that we don't understand. It's that we don't recognize that it's God speaking. You know, we aren't looking for God to speak, and so we don't think that God would speak or that God could speak. And so when people don't think that, don't receive that, then they push that away. You know, that's why there's people caught up in chaos and they're bad-mouthing Christians that are standing for what's right. Our nation has absolutely become a place where good is called evil and evil is called good. You know? Now, it's good for us to understand that. It's good for us to recognize that and not try to think we're pretty okay because we have a lot of people that are pretty okay, but we have a lot of people that are afraid to say, you know? And so power, you know, God has given us power. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to offend anybody. What if they don't hear me? I don't care if they hear us or not. What if they say something bad about me? Praise God. Let me tell you about a scripture that says, blessed are you. Blessed are you when they persecute you, call you stupid and ratty and useless because you love Jesus. Ha! Hallelujah. Dance a little, you know? I mean, this, you know, it's like, I like this. I like this right here. I like this, and I look forward to this. There was somebody sang a song. It said, each moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup. I don't put on makeup. But, you know, I say a little prayer for you forever and ever. Okay. Yeah. You don't need that. Fine, then. It just winds up my engine a little bit to think about the things that God says. You know, you think about those things. Hallelujah. Yeah. So anyway, that's all I got to say about that for right now. Okay? Psalm 36:9 says, you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. Psalm 37:4 says, he will give you your heart's desires. Take delight in the Lord, he'll give you your heart's desires. As you look at this lineup of psalms, Psalm 33 is pretty much let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It's fitting for the pure to praise him. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for him on the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp. Sing with joy. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. Verse 8 says, let the world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and the world began. Psalm 34 starts out and says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let's tell of the Lord's greatness. Let's exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, verse 4 again, and he answered me. He freed me from my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. Well, we can be radiant with joy just looking to him, but there's something following the looking to him. Not only can be, but will be radiant with that joy. Verse 11 of Psalm 34 says, come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. And his ears are open to their cries for help, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. And he will erase their memory from the earth. Well, that's not a very uplifting verse. If you're evil, it isn't. Lord, keep me from being evil. Psalm 35 says, Lord, oppose those that oppose me. Fight those who fight against me. Put on your armor. Take up your shield. Prepare for the battle. Come to my aid. Lift up your spear and your javelin against those who pursue me. Let me hear you say, I will give you victory. The Lord is a warrior. So this morning in the Bible app, it was the familiar verse from James that said, consider it joy when troubles come. It's an opportunity for you to be a little more perfected even. And I got that far, and the Lord said, how's your joy? How's your joy? Well, I feel like I got joy. I get joy just thinking about the Lord. I get joy just thinking about the Lord. Walking in the sunshine, sing a little sunshine song. Put a smile upon your face as if there's nothing wrong. Think about a good time we had a long time ago. Think about forgetting about your worries and your woes. Walking in the sunshine, sing a sunshine song. It wouldn't hurt us. Sometimes you guys just get that look of, where's he going now? I know, you just want to catch every word of every song that I sing. Huh? Why don't we do church at the park?
Yeah.
We can do anything you want to do.
We used to,
well, we used to do praise in the park way back when we first came to town. We did praise in the park every week, you know. And I've considered that a lot. And yeah, no, and I have, and I've considered it a lot. And I think that it's very necessary. We get a lot of stuff that goes on at the park that doesn't do much for God. And we could get loud and proud for him, but want to do that, I guess it doesn't matter if I steal thunder or not. You know, just go for it. So thank you. Yeah, it's good. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Expose people to the presence of God. You know, I want to tell you that Hughes County is full of people that come for the presence of God. If there wouldn't be presence of God, they would ask me what was wrong with me. You know? Because they're hungry for his presence. Because they know that they need his presence. Don't forget, you need his presence. You need it. You might need a little jolt from a cattle prod once in a while. I don't know. That's up to you. But we need to enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We need to do these things. So that was what God said. How is your joy? And so I was doing a joy inventory, you know. I was doing an inventory of everything that I kind of know about joy, and I'm always saying, you know, rejoy. You know, sometimes we need to rejoy. And interesting thing about that is as I was typing, It didn't like rejoy. And so it would give me a correction, and I shut off the correction, and I went right back on. And about the third time that I did that, it took rejoy. And I was thrilled that it took rejoy, because I was teaching artificial intelligence something. You see, they don't know. They think they know, but they don't really know necessarily. They just think it's proper grammar because nobody uses it. But now they share with each other and all their information and say, I got a guy in Highmore that uses rejoy. Everybody, go ahead and go with rejoy. Yeah. Rejoy. And so then when I wrote rejoying, again, I got an error on it. Didn't like rejoying any better than it liked rejoy. But by the time I was done with this, it was accepting rejoying. And maybe they just wrote me off. This guy's off on his own land. I don't know. But yeah, I see things like that and I think, well, good deal. You know? I'm becoming less of a fan of AI, I think. It does interesting things. But anyway, going through that and and thinking about the joy. Man, there's nothing wrong with joy. You know? You can just be joyful. You don't have to have a good reason to enter into the joy of the Lord. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It's a good thing to rejoice in the Lord. It's a good thing. You know? I mean, you can actually be happy. You can choose happy. You can choose it. You can choose happy. Ask my wife. She likes me better happy than otherwise. Although you can well imagine that there are times that she's almost intolerant of my happiness. Maybe it's improper placement of it, you know. But we can. That's how God made us. He made us. If you will enter into the joy of the Lord, just let His joy. You don't have to say a word. Just let His joy well up in you. It'll change an atmosphere. It just will. You know, your working partner, she's about giving up, and she just smiles when I come in because she knows I'm gonna check and see her smile. Because they say, and I don't know because I'm not a muscleologist, but that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. You know? And so we have something that the rest of the world doesn't have. And we really don't need to hoard it. We need to release it. We need to release joy. We need to rejoy. The joy of the Lord, you know, is what?
Our strength.
Our strength, exactly. It's our strength. Strength's a good thing. Amen. When I am weak, then I am strong. Because His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Let the word dwell in you richly. Let it hang out with you. Because when we do that, then we'll always be ready at every opportunity to say why we have this joy. You know? I would rather have somebody say, what are you happy about than what are you so mad about? You know? God always allows me to keep his plans in practice all the way through. I was getting ready. I was almost over here. I had gotten done in time to take a 2-minute shower. Everything was grand. I went out to see my shoes and I saw something else on the carpet by the back door. And I smiled. Ah, bless her heart, I'm glad she got to the back door. I don't know, you know. I mean, I kept my joy. Why would I give up my joy over that? I can get that cleaned up. Then I got back over here and there was a little time because everybody wasn't ready yet. So I ran back over, and I went back over, and I needed a belt so my pants didn't fall off. And so then I got my belt, and I decided, well, if I'm going to have a belt, I'll tuck in my shirt. So I tucked in my shirt, and I tore the button off my pants. I said, well, praise the Lord, here we are. God's got great plans today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and I left the button in a place where we can find it and start over. But, you know, but those kind of things, if we allow them to, they can kind of ruin our concentration. What was I going to say? You know? But if we just figure that they're not the end of the world, you know, I've been working with my beautiful wife because she's wonderful and she does things, but But she's not satisfied with very little. Very little that she does now is she satisfied with. You know, the pies aren't just right. She didn't like the apple crisp she made. All kinds of stuff like that. And I tell her, honey, there's not anything wrong with any of it. You know, but I can sort of understand that a lot of things aren't working just the way that we want them to work in her life right now. And so she begins to judge herself by past performance. Never had a pie that looked like that before. It was my fault. It was one of those crusts that were on sale that she doesn't like, and I had bought them, and it was in the freezer, and it had been in the freezer too long. The pie was wonderful, the crust was wonderful, but not up to her standards. You know, that's okay. You ever have anything that's not up to your standards? You know? John helped me build an addition, and almost every day he had to live with, oh, bro, you know. Do you ever pull up thinking, I can't believe that place is still standing? No, you don't. Praise God. I'm glad that you can't believe, yeah. But it's only because he helped. You know? He helped because he was afraid it wouldn't if he didn't show up, you know. Ah, what a brother. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So you see, we can rejoice over things from 40 years ago. We have such joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. And so, while I was moving on from the Psalms and moving on, you know, I told you I'm reading Leviticus and I'm reading every word. And I was reading it and reading it and reading it. Then I was having to find my spot and read it and read it and read it and my brain just buffered. It just began to buffer. And so I just laid back and buffered. Till my brain could get unbuffered. And when it was done buffering, it's just like a YouTube that buffers, my brain was back. And so then there I was, finishing up my reading in Leviticus. And I thought, you know, buffering isn't all that bad. Well, Vicki hates that buffering. She just hates that. It shouldn't buffer. We've got enough speed. There's something wrong, you know. I said, you know, sometimes you just got to let it buffer. I don't love buffering either. I really don't. I don't like it when it starts to spin and the picture won't go. I don't like it. But I do know if it finishes its buffer, it works. You know? And so, being the student that I am, I Googled buffering. And I was absolutely right. Buffering is a planned thing within a computer and within the RAM. To reorganize the thoughts. It just needs to, you know. And so it pauses and it fixes itself. If it didn't have that pause and fix itself thing, we'd all be frustrated. The whole wide world would just shut down. Nobody'd go to work. Nobody talk to anybody because their phones wouldn't give them something to say. They would just buffer and buffer and buffer and buffer. You'd see people throwing their phones on the floor in the airport. You'd see them stomping on. You'd see them stealing somebody else's phone to see if they have service. Do you have service? I don't have any service. Do you have service? Isn't that something? Just think about it, that if you're in a place and your phone's not working and there's people looking at their phones, there'll be people going to each other saying, do you have service? Do you have service? Do you have service? Huh? Do you have service? What if we said, do you have Jesus?
There you go.
Huh? Do you have Jesus? Do you have Jesus? Huh? Do you have Jesus? Well, that's a good one. Okay, you can use that. There's no patent on it. But you know, I mean, if you look it up, it talks about the buffering. Is my hair okay? Talk about the buffering, you know? And it explained to me, and believe it or not, I sort of understood. And there's two kinds of information stacked up. One is that stuff that AI grabs from everywhere, and then there's some that is lined up that is just the most recent information. And so the most recent information will come up easier. But if a whole bunch of that old information tries to get up in there, then it has to buffer more. The prayer then is that it doesn't freeze. Because if it freezes, you know what happens when your computer freezes? Your phone freezes? You got to restart it. And if it's so frozen that you can't find the restart button, you got to do a hard reset. Pull the plug. That's taking authority over that computer. And then you pray when you plug it back in, oh Lord, make it work again. Sometimes things buffer, like your phone might buffer, and then you lose something, and you didn't get to finish that something, and that's something that you wanted to finish, and now you got to go to try to find it. At our house, my wife is the tech expert. I seriously can barely watch the television if she's not home. There's two things about that. One is, what if I mess it up? And the other just is getting I can start it, I can turn it on, I can see the thing that I want, but sometimes the thing that I want's not on the, why would it be there if it's not working in that app? I don't get it. So I punch it, then it's trying to find something else. It's all messed up. Well, sometimes that is the case. I do often pick up my control and I hit a button and the control's upside down, so obviously the controls are backwards. You know? I mean, so I just, it's very quiet if she's not home. If I try to find something, I can't find it, I just turn it off. You know? I guess that's probably a word. Sometimes when we're talking, we need to just shut up. Now, I'm not talking about this message, but sometimes the whole atmosphere would be better, wouldn't it, if we just didn't talk? I'm not picking on you, honey, but a lot of times she doesn't like it that I don't talk. But it's safer. You know. But I always listen. She's not going to go for that one either, okay? I try to listen. I try. We are getting funny if one of us has hearing aids in and the other one doesn't. I tell you what. Yeah. Okay, enough of that. Okay, but we, you know, we do sometimes buffer. Not just because of age or anything like that. It's just sometimes there is so much information going through our head, so many thoughts, or we're reading Leviticus. But whatever it is, you know, it's just, the clouds come, you know, that's okay. Buffer. Take time to buffer. Take time to buffer, and you know what'll happen? The information, the most recent information, is what will come up. And so, if you put rejoy on the top of your memory, your RAM, R-A-M, RAM. If you put rejoy at the top in that list of the preferred things, guess what will come up? Rejoy will jump up. And then you have a decision to make. You can say, why does he say those things? I don't want that right now. Or you can say, yeah, rejoy. Hey, don't try to tell me that sometimes the Word of God doesn't come up and you want to put it into that cloudy memory because you got other things to think about right then. Because the Holy Spirit can put us into buffer instantaneously. You know? Just like, I mean, what? I was perfectly happy. Why would God say, how's your joy? It's a good thing to check. You know? It's like, if I'm going to go on a long trip, I check my oil. Some people check their oil all the time. They do. I don't. I think I should. But then I think I shouldn't. Nowadays, you know, the automatic thing in your vehicle tells you to change your oil, and it's like 10,000 miles. And I'm for the last 2,000 miles before it gets to the 10,000, whatever it is, I do check my oil. I pull out the stick, and I taste the oil. Just make sure it's not burnt. Now, that's about as deep as I go mechanically. But you don't have to, but, you know, I smelled the oil because somebody smelled oil once and the engine was about to blow up in their car. So I learned these things, and they aren't at the top of my list, obviously. But it took me 3 or 4 or 5 years of having one of those cars that goes that long to wait until it said to change the oil. Because I grew up every 3,000 miles. I felt like not like a sinner, because I wasn't worried about that, but I thought it was like the unforgivable when I switched from Pennzoil to whatever's cheap at Walmart when I was in college, you know, because my dad was a Pennzoil guy. What does that have to do with anything? We all got these things, okay? But the greatest thing we have is Jesus. We have him. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he answered. I know that when I call upon the Lord, he hears me. I know that he answers. So then if I'm out there and I'm forgetting to call, he can pretty well bring up a song or just bring up a verse that says, remember, you called on the Lord and he heard you and he answered. When I'm buffering over something and I'm not, I know that I'm not thinking what I should be thinking, then I know, wait a minute, I prayed about this. Or sometimes the Lord will just simply say, do you trust me? I hate that. I mean, I like that, but it's like, oh, I've gone too far. If he asks me if I trust him, that means that I must have entered into doubt. I want doubt way down in my RAM. I'd like to delete doubt from my life. I'd like to think that I don't doubt, but if God says, do you trust me? That has a different indicator to us, right? But we won't give in. We won't give up, and we won't give in. We'll just praise the Lord again, right? Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Keep it going. When you hit a buffer, don't pay too much attention to it. Just let it straighten itself out. And if it doesn't straighten itself out, reset. But reset to Jesus. Reset to faith. Reset to trust. Reset to hope. Rejoy. Just rejoy. 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 If you pull a lawnmower, some of them just pull on one start. Sometimes you got to pull them a lot of times. If my battery is dead on my four-wheeler, then I think, wait a second. It's got a rope. It actually starts better many times with that rope than it does when it's got the battery going. I don't know why that is. But sometimes I have to remind myself, wait a minute, you've got a rope. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves we got a rope. Faith is like a rope. Remember when Nicodemus used to sing that? Faith is like a rope. God's given us so many tools. We were created to reset to Him. We were made to only get our satisfaction from Him. We'll never be completely satisfied until we're back on Him. A train won't run off the tracks. It'll tip over, but it won't run. But it very seldom goes off the tracks. And we don't need to go off the tracks either. Let this mind be also in you, as it was in Christ. He followed us. He followed the plan. Nothing could keep Him from following the plan. And He is our example. He is our example. So we just follow the plan. We'll put our trust in the Lord. We rejoice. We buffer ourselves right back into operating like a well-tuned engine. We trust the Lord. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered, and that's why I trust Him. We can trust the Lord. So Lord, we are grateful, grateful, grateful. Grateful. Forever grateful. And we just pray that every person would come to the knowledge of the truth. Would just know You. Have the joy that only You can supply. The peace that comes in bushel baskets from You. Thank You, Lord. For You are true. And Your word is truth. So we ask You, Lord, for salvation. We ask You, Lord, for restoration. We ask You, Lord, for an end to the chaos. We pray for the Spirit of the living God to quench the demon spirits that steal, kill, and destroy in our nation. And we pray, Lord, for the United States of America to be a light on a hill. We are the major source sending out the gospel. Restore us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.